Thank you, Tom, for modeling the way we practice democratic participation and information sharing in this community, and for your commitment and your passion. So every year, UU congregations all over the country talk around this time of year about stewardship and ask members for pledges, the financial commitments that enable us to create our budget. As you might expect, it can be an anxious time for ministers and boards as the pledges trickle in and maybe deficits appear. In most congregations, the minister offers at least one sermon that is focused in large part on the pledge drive, a message that is sometimes referred to as the Sermon on the Amount. We ministers can get anxious about these sermons too, and knowing that humor can help diffuse the tension, one of my colleagues posted on a ministers-only Facebook page the following request. What's your shadow pledge sermon title? It's like your jokey pledge title. Within a day or so, more than 60 ministers had responded with their humorous and irreverent pledge sermon titles. Here are a few. The good news is that we have all the money that the church needs to fulfill its mission. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. This one's a little bit crass. I upped my pledge, up yours. Bring the change you want to see. And one more. Your faith in the miraculous is only evident at budget time. But all joking aside, our stewardship campaign is actually not only about meeting the financial needs of our church. It's also an opportunity to consider the spirituality of giving, to consider our human need to give, to consider how thriving communities are created by generosity. It's a time for us to assess our own spiritual growth as givers, as individual givers, as giving households, as a giving congregation. So next Sunday, the children will be fully included in our service, and we'll talk about generosity and stewardship as spiritual values. We'll also participate in a joyful and celebratory shared ritual of submitting our pledge cards. Many UU churches do this as a way to celebrate the promises we make to one another. So if you're a member or a pledging friend, you're encouraged to bring your pledge card to that service. If you've already turned it in, we'll have blank ones you can use symbolically for that ritual of commitment. So don't let this all frighten you away. Another one of the jokes given on that Facebook thread was, "It's Pledge Sunday, come anyway." But seriously, if you're scared of coming to next Sunday's service because you're not sure if you're pledging, or you're afraid you're not pledging enough, or maybe you're new here and you're not sure how you fit into such a service, please don't be apprehensive. First of all, no one will know whether you're pledging or not. There will be easy ways for first-time visitors to be meaningfully involved. And most importantly, know that it will be a space of celebration, not guilt or shame. So our goal is 100% participation from all members, and the stewardship committee and I knew that this was an achievable goal because we know that each member has so many ways to give of their time, talent, or treasure to this church. Even if you are stretched so hard financially that you stay awake at night wondering how you're going to pay your bills, the good news is you can give of your time or your talent to the church. I've seen so many ways people from different financial backgrounds give to this church. I've seen people weeding the gardens, washing the windows, cleaning up the kitchen after potlucks, bringing food to potlucks, managing our finances, singing in the choir, fixing leaky faucets, leading Sunday services, serving on the board, showing up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday to unlock the door for our yoga class, making a pot of coffee before church, serving as a greeter, teaching our children's classes, connecting our church to the wider community, and so much, so much more. These ways of giving are as essential as financial giving. If we had $1 million in pledges, but did not have anyone give of their time or their talent to the church, we would not have a successful church. One might argue, well, if we had $1 million, we could hire paid staff to do all of the work. Certainly paid staff are important, but a church where only paid staff do the work is really not a church, something more like a country club. A church is a place of shared ministry, where we all feel inspired and emboldened to do the work in our mission statement within the church and beyond our walls. Because stewardship is one of our essential ethical and spiritual values of who we are as people. So please know that if you have carefully considered your financial circumstances and you've come to the sobering reality that you cannot pledge this year any dollars, please know that the way you pledge of your time and your talent are just as valued and celebrated. We would not be here without you. Similarly, every amount of money is valued and celebrated. Studies show it is actually low-income working families that are the most generous group in America, giving away about 4.5% of their income on average. This compares to about 2.5% among the middle class and 3% among high-income families. That's why I support percentage-based pledging. Because if you're giving $25 a month, and that represents 3% of your income annually, you're giving at the same percentage as the person with a much larger income who gives $250 a month. My husband, Ethan, and I have decided this year to pledge 3% of my income to the church. I wish we could do 5% or even 10%. And I'm so grateful to those members who choose that level of generosity. For us, we decided 3% is a stretch and felt like the most we could stretch and it still be joyful giving. For each of you, you'll come to that number in your own personal way. Money is a touchy subject, but it expresses our values. When we look at our bank statements, we can see our priorities. If we believe enough in this church, in this future, the vision that Tom cast, could those of us who are able stretch ourselves a bit more? Could we make changes to the way we spend that reflect what we want to steward? I heard of one person saying that they could save a bit of money each month for the church if when they went out to eat, instead of ordering soda, they ordered water. What changes could you make to spending that would not be born of guilt, but of joy? Because you know deep in your bones the joy of stewarding something you care about, of planting that tree which one day will provide shade and food and beauty for others. Okay, I'll end with a bit more of humor. Maybe you've heard this one. The Buddhist walks up to the hot dog vendor and says, "Make me one with everything." The hot dog vendor gives him a hot dog, and the Buddhist gives him a $20 bill. After a moment of waiting, the Buddhist asks, "Where's my change?" The vendor smiles and says, "Ah, change comes from within."